Constitutions of the Holy Apostles. Book 1. Section I. The Apostles and Elders to all those who from among the Gentiles have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, grace and peace from Almighty God, through our Lord Jesus Christ, be multiplied unto you in the acknowledgement of Him. The Catholic Church is the plantation of God and His beloved vineyard. 2. Containing those who have believed in His unerring divine religion, who are the heirs by faith of His everlasting kingdom, who are partakers of His divine influence, and of the communication of the Holy Spirit, who are armed through Jesus, and have received His fear into their hearts, who enjoy the benefit of the sprinkling of the precious and innocent blood of Christ, who have free liberty to call Almighty God Father, being fellow heirs and joint partakers of His beloved Son, hearken to this holy doctrine, you who enjoy His promises, as being delivered by the command of your Savior, and agreeable to His glorious words. Take care, ye children of God, to do all things in obedience to God, and in all things, please Christ our Lord. 3. For if any man follows unrighteousness, and does those things that are contrary to the will of God, such a one will be esteemed by God as the disobedient heathen. I abstain, therefore, from all unlawful desires and injustice. For it is written in the law, Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his field, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. 4. For all coveting of these things is from the evil one. For he that covets his neighbor's wife, or his manservant, or his maidservant, is already in his mind an adulterer and a thief, and if he does not repent, is condemned by our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom s glory be to God forever. Amen. For he says in the Gospel, recapitulating, and confirming, and fulfilling the 10 commandments of the law, it is written in the law, Thou shalt not commit adultery, but I say unto you, that is, I said in the law, by Moses. But now I say unto you myself, whosoever shall look on his neighbor's wife to lust after her, hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. 6. Such a one is condemned of adultery, who covets his neighbor's wife in his mind. But does not he that covets an ox or an ass design to steal them to apply them to his own use, and to lead them away? Or, again, does not he that covets a field, and continues in such a disposition, wickedly contrive how to remove the landmarks, and to compel the possessor to part with somewhat for nothing? For as the prophet somewhere speaks, Woe to those who join house to house, and lay field to field, that they may deprive their neighbor of somewhat which was his. 7. Wherefore he says, Must you alone inhabit the earth? For these things have been heard in the ears of the Lord of hosts. And elsewhere, Cursed be he who removeth his neighbor's landmarks, and all the people shall say, Amen. 8. Wherefore Moses says, Thou shalt not remove thy neighbor's landmarks. 9. Which thy fathers have set. 10. Upon this account, therefore, terrors, death, tribunals, and condemnations follow such as these from God. But as to those who are obedient to God, there is one law of God, simple, 10, true, living, which is this, Do not that to another which thou hatest another should do to thee. 11. Thou wouldst not that anyone should look upon thy wife with an evil design to corrupt her. Do not thou, therefore, look upon thy neighbor's wife with a wicked intention. Thou wouldst not that thy garment should be taken away. Do not thou, therefore, take away another's. Thou wouldst not be beaten, reproached, affronted. Do not thou, therefore, serve any other in the like manner. 2. But if any one curse thee, do thou bless him. For it is written in the book of Numbers, He that blesseth thee is blessed, and he that curseth thee is cursed one. In the same manner it is written in the Gospel, Bless them that curse you too, being injured. Do not avenge yourselves, but bear it with patience, for the Scripture speaks thus, Say not thou, I will avenge myself on my enemy for what injuries he has offered me, but acquiesce under them, that the Lord may right thee, and bring vengeance upon him who injures thee. 3. For so says he again in the Gospel, Love your enemies, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, and ye shall be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to shine on the evil, and on the good, and raineth on the just and unjust. 4. Let us therefore, beloved, attend to these commandments, that we may be found to be the children of light by doing them. Bear, therefore, with one another, ye servants and sons of God. Section 2. Let the husband not be insolent nor arrogant towards his wife, but compassionate, bountiful, willing to please his own wife alone. 5. And treat her honorably and obligingly, endeavoring to be agreeable to her, 3. Not adorning thyself in such a manner as may entice another woman to thee. For if thou art overcome by her, and sinnest with her, eternal death will overtake thee from God, and thou wilt be punished with sensible and bitter torments. Or if thou dost not perpetrate such a wicked act, but shakest her off, and refusest her, in this case thou art not wholly innocent, even though thou art not guilty of the crime itself, but only in so far as through thy adorning thou didst entice the woman to desire thee. For thou art the cause that the woman was so affected, and by her lusting after thee was guilty of adultery with thee. Yet art thou not so guilty, because thou didst not send to her, who was ensnared by thee, nor didst thou desire her. Since, therefore, thou didst not deliver up thyself to her, thou shalt find mercy with the Lord thy God, who hath said, thou shalt not commit adultery, and thou shalt not covet. 6. For if such a woman, upon sight of thee, or unseasonable meeting with thee, was smitten in her mind, and sent to thee, but thou as a religious person didst refuse her. 7. If she was wounded in her heart by thy beauty, and youth, and adorning, and fell in love with thee, thou wilt be found guilty of her transgressions, as having been the occasion of scandal to her. 8. And shalt inherit a woe. 9. Wherefore pray out to the Lord God, that no mischief may befall thee upon this account, for thou art not to please men, so as to commit sin, but God, so as to attain holiness of life, and be partaker of everlasting rest. That beauty which God and nature has bestowed on thee, do not further beautify, but modestly diminish it before men. Thus, do not thou permit the hair of thy head to grow too long, but rather cut it short, lest by a nice combing thy hair, and wearing it long, and anointing thyself, thou draw upon thyself such ensnared and snaring women. Neither do thou wear over fine garments to seduce any, neither do thou, with an evil subtlety, affect over fine stockings or shoes for thy feet, but only such as suit the measures of decency and usefulness. Neither do thou put a gold ring upon thy fingers, for all these ornaments are the signs of lasciviousness, which if thou be solicitous about in an indecent manner, thou wilt not act as becomes a good man, for it is not lawful for thee, a believer and a man of God, to permit the hair of thy head to grow long, and to brush it up together, nor to suffer it to spread abroad, nor to puff it up, nor by nice combing and plaiting to make it curl and shine, since that is contrary to the law, which says thus, in its additional precepts, you shall not make to yourselves curls, and round rasures den, nor may men destroy the hair of their beards, and unnaturally change the form of a man. For the law says, ye shall not mar your beards 10, for God the Creator has made this decent for women, but has determined, that it is unsuitable for men. But if thou do these things to please men, in contradiction to the law, thou wilt be abominable with God, who created thee after his own image. If, therefore, thou wilt be acceptable to God, abstain from all those things which he hates, and do none of those things that are unpleasing to him. 4. Thou shalt not be as a wanderer and gadder abroad, rambling about the streets, without just cause, to spy out such as live wickedly, but by minding thy own trade and employment, endeavor to do what is acceptable to God, and keeping in mind the oracles of Christ, meditate in the same continually. For so the scripture says to thee, thou shalt meditate in his law day and night, when thou walkest in the field, and when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, that thou mayest have understanding in all things. 1. Nay, although thou payest rich, and so dost not want to trade for thy maintenance, be not one that gads about, and walks abroad at random, but either go to some that are believers, and of the same religion, and confer and discourse with them about the lively oracles of God. 5. Or if thou stayest at home, read the books of the law, of the kings, with the prophets, sing the hymns of David, and peruse diligently the gospel, which is the completion of the other. 6. Abstain from all the heathen books. For what hast thou to do with such foreign discourses, or laws, or false prophets, which subvert the faith of the unstable? For what defect dost thou find in the law of God, that thou shouldest have recourse to those heathenish fables? For if thou hast a mind to read history, thou hast the books of the kings; if books of wisdom or poetry, thou hast those of the prophets, or Job, and the Proverbs, in which thou wilt find greater depth of sagacity than in all the heathen poets and sophisters, because these are the words of the Lord, the only wise God. If thou desirest something to sing, thou hast the Psalms; if the origin of things, thou hast Genesis; if laws and statutes, thou hast the glorious law of the Lord God. Do thou therefore utterly abstain from all strange and diabolical books. Nay, when thou readest the law, think not thyself bound to observe the additional precepts, though not all of them, yet some of them. Read those barely, for the sake of history, in order to the knowledge of them, and to glorify God, that he has delivered thee from such great, and so many bonds. Propose to thyself to distinguish what rules were from the law of nature, and what were added afterwards, or were such additional rules as were introduced and given in the wilderness to the Israelites after the making of the calf, for the law contains those precepts which were spoken by the Lord God before the people fell into idolatry, and made a calf like the Egyptian Apis, that is, the Ten Commandments. But as to those bonds which were further laid upon them, after they had sinned, do not thou dry them upon thyself, for our Savior came for no other reason, but that he might deliver those that were obnoxious thereto from the wrath which was reserved for them, that too, he might fulfill the law and the prophets, and that he might abrogate or change those secondary bonds which were superadded to the rest of the law. For therefore did he call to us and say, Come unto me, too, all ye that labor, and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. 3. When, therefore, thou hast read the law, which is agreeable to the gospel, and to the prophets, read also the books of the kings, that thou mayest thereby learn which of the kings were righteous, and how they were prospered by God, and how the promise of eternal life continued with them from him. But those kings which went a-whoring from God, did soon perish in their apostasy by the righteous judgment of God, and were deprived of his life, inheriting, instead of rest, eternal punishment. Wherefore by reading these books thou wilt be mightily strengthened in the faith, and edified in Christ, whose body and member thou art. Moreover, when thou walkest abroad in public, and hast a mind to bathe, make use of that bath which is appropriated to men, lest, by discovering thy body in an unseemly manner to women, or by seeing a sign not seemly for men, either thou be'st ensnared, or thou ensnarest and enticest to thyself those women who easily yield to such temptations too. Take care, therefore, and avoid such things, lest thou admit a snare upon thy own soul. 7. For let us learn what the sacred word says in the book of wisdom, My son, keep my words, and hide my commandments with thee. Say unto wisdom, Thou art my sister, and make understanding familiar with thee, that she may keep thee from the strange and wicked woman, in case such a one accost thee with sweet words. For from the window of her house she looks into the street, to see if she can espy some young men among the foolish children, without understanding, walking in the marketplace, in the meeting of the street near her house, and talking in the dusk of the evening, or in the silence and darkness of the night. A woman meets him in the appearance of an harlot, who steals away the hearts of young persons. She rambles about and is dissolute, her feet abide not in her house. Sometimes she is without, sometimes in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner. Then she catches him, and kisses him, and with an impudent face says unto him, I have peace offerings with me. This day do I pay my vows, therefore came I forth to meet thee. Earnestly I have desired thy face, and I have found thee. I have decked my bed with coverings, with tapestry from Egypt, have I adorned it. I have perfumed my bed with saffron, and my house with cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Come, let us solace ourselves with love, etc. To which he adds, With much discourse she seduced him, with snares from her lips she forced him. He goes after her like a silly bird. 1. And again, Do not hearken to a wicked woman, for though the lips of an harlot are like drops from an honeycomb, which for a while is smooth in thy throat, yet afterwards thou wilt find her more bitter than gall, and sharper than any two-edged sword too. And again, But get away quickly, and tarry not, fix not thine eyes upon her. For she hath thrown down many wounded, yea, innumerable multitudes have been slain by her. 3. If not, says he, yet thou wilt repent at the last, when thy flesh and thy body are consumed, and wilt say, How have I hated instruction, and my heart has avoided the reproofs of the righteous. I have not hearkened to the voice of my instructor, nor inclined mine ear to my teacher. I have almost been in all evil. 4. But we will make no more quotations, and if we have omitted any, be so prudent as to select the most valuable out of the Holy Scriptures, and confirm yourselves with them, rejecting all things that are evil, that so you may be found holy with God in eternal life. Section 3. 8. Let the wife be obedient to her own proper husband, because the husband is the head of the wife. 5. But Christ is the head of that husband who walks in the way of righteousness, and the head of Christ is God, even his Father. Therefore, O wife, next after the Almighty, our God and Father, the Lord of the present world, and of the world to come, the maker of everything that breathes, and of every power, and after his beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom 6, glory be to God, do thou fear thy husband, and reverence him, pleasing him alone, rendering thyself acceptable to him in the several affairs of life, that so on thy account thy husband may be called blessed, according to the wisdom of Solomon, which thus speaks, who can find a virtuous woman? For such a one is more precious than costly stones. The heart of their husband doth safely trust in her, so that she shall have no need of spoil, for she does good to her husband all the days of her life. She bleeth wool and flax, and worketh profitable things with her hands. She is like the merchant's ships, she bringeth her food from far. She riseth also, while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household, and food to her maidens. She considereth the field, and bleeth it, with the fruit of her hands she planteth the vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength, and strengtheneth her arms. She tasteth that it is good to labor. Her lamp goeth not out all the whole night. She stretcheth out her arms for useful work, and layeth her hands to the spindle. She openeth her hands to the needy, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the poor. Her husband takes no care of the affairs of his house, for all that are with her are clothed with double garments. She maketh coats for her husband, clothings of silk and purple. Her husband is eminent in the gates, when he sitteth with the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen, and selleth it to the Phoenicians, and girdles to the Canaanites. She is clothed with glory and beauty, and she rejoices in the last days. She openeth her mouth with wisdom and discretion, and puts her words in order. The ways of her household are strict. She eateth not the bread of idleness. She will open her mouth with wisdom and caution, and upon her tongue are the laws of mercy. Her children arise up, and praise her for her riches, and her husband joins in her praises. Many daughters have obtained wealth and done worthily, but thou surpassest and excellest them all. May lying flatteries and the vain beauty of a wife be far from thee, for a religious wife is blessed. Let her praise the fear of the Lord. 7. Give her of the fruits of her lips, and let her husband be praised in the gates. 8. And again, a virtuous wife is a crown to her husband. 9. And again, many wives have built an house. 1. You have learned what great commendations a prudent and loving wife receives from the Lord God. If thou desirest to be one of the faithful, and to please the Lord, O wife, do not superadd ornaments to thy beauty, in order to please other men, neither affect to wear fine broidering, garments, or shoes, to entice those who are lured by such things. For although thou dost not these wicked things with design of sinning thyself, but only for the sake of ornament and beauty, yet wilt thou not so escape future punishment, as having compelled another to look so hard at thee as to lust after thee, and as not having taken care both to avoid sin thyself, and the affording scandal to others. But if thou yield thyself up, and commit the crime, thou art both guilty of thy own sin, and the cause of the ruin of the other's soul also. Besides, when thou hast committed lewdness with one man, and beginnest to despair, thou wilt again turn away from thy duty, and follow others, and grow past feeling, as says the divine word, when a wicked man comes into the depth of evil, he becomes a scorner, and then disgrace and reproach come upon him too. For such a woman afterward being wounded, and snares without restraint the souls of the foolish. Let us learn, therefore, how the divine word triumphs over such women, saying, I hated a woman who is a snare and net to the heart of men worse than death. Her hands are fetters. 3. And in another passage, as a jewel of gold in a swine's snout, so is beauty in a wicked woman. 4. And again, as a worm in wood, so does a wicked woman destroy her husband. 5. And again, it is better to dwell in the corner of the housetop, than with a contentious and an angry woman. 6. You, therefore, who are Christian women, do not imitate such as these. But thou who designest to be faithful to thine own husband, take care to please him alone. And when thou art in the streets, cover thy head, for by such a covering thou wilt avoid being viewed of idle persons. Do not paint thy face, which is God's workmanship, for there is no part of thee which wants ornament, inasmuch as all things which God has made are very good. But the lascivious additional adorning of what is already good is an affront to the bounty of the Creator. Look downward when thou walkest abroad, veiling thyself as becomes women. 9. Avoid also that disorderly practice of bathing in the same place with men, for many are the nets of the evil one. And let not a Christian woman bathe with an hermaphrodite, for if she is to veil her face, and conceal it with modesty from strange men, how can she bear to enter naked into the bath together with men? But if the bath be appropriated to women, let her bathe orderly, modestly, and moderately. But let her not bathe without occasion, nor much, nor often, nor in the middle of the day, nor, if possible, every day, and let the 10th hour of the day be the set time for such seasonable bathing. For it is convenient that thou, who art a Christian woman, shouldst ever constantly avoid a curiosity which has many eyes. 10. But as to a spirit of contention, be sure to curb it as to all men, but principally as to thine husband, lest, if he be an unbeliever or an heathen, he may have an occasion of scandal, or of blaspheming God, and thou be partaker of a woe from God. For, says he, woe to him by whom my name is blasphemed among the Gentiles. 7. And lest, if thy husband be a Christian, he be forced, from his knowledge of the Scriptures, to say that which is written in the Book of Wisdom, it is better to dwell in the wilderness, than with a contentious and an angry woman. 8. You wives, therefore, demonstrate your piety by your modesty and meekness to all without the church, whether they be women or men, in order to their conversion and improvement in the faith. And since we have warned you, and instructed you briefly, whom we do esteem our sisters, daughters, and members, as being wise yourselves, persevere all your lives in an unblameable course of life. Seek to know such kind of learning whereby you may arrive at the kingdom of our Lord, and please him, and so rest forever and ever. Amen. Book 2 of Bishops, Priests, and Deacons. Section I.I.B.U.T. Concerning Bishops, we have heard from our Lord, that a pastor who is to be ordained a bishop for the churches in every parish, must be unblameable, unreprovable, free from all kinds of wickedness common among men, not under 50 years of age, for such a one is in good part past youthful disorders, and the slanders of the heathen, as well as the reproaches which are sometimes cast upon many persons by some false brethren, who do not consider the word of God in the gospel. Whosoever speaketh an idle word shall give an account thereof to the Lord in the day of judgment. 1. And again, by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned too. Let him therefore, if it is possible, be well educated, but if he be unlettered, let him at any rate be 3. Skillful in the word, and of competent age. But if in a small parish one advanced in years is not to be found, 4. Let some younger person, who has a good report among his neighbors, and is esteemed by them worthy of the office of a bishop who has carried himself from his youth with meekness and regularity, like a much elder person after examination, and a general good report, be ordained in peace. For Solomon at 12 years of age was king of Israel, 5, and Josiah at 8 years of age reigned righteously, 6, and in like manner Josh governed the people at 7 years of age, 7, wherefore, although the person be young, let him be meek, gentle, and quiet. For the Lord God says by Esaias, upon whom will I look, but upon him who is humble and quiet, and always trembles at my words. 8. In like manner it is in the gospel also, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. 9. Let him also be merciful, for again it is said, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. 10. Let him also be a peacemaker, for again it is said, blessed sons of God. 11. Let him also be one of a good conscience, purified from all evil, and wickedness, and unrighteousness, for it is said again, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. 12. 2. Let him therefore be sober, prudent, decent, firm, stable, not given to wine, no striker, but gentle, not a brawler, not covetous, not a novice, test, being puffed up with pride, be fallen to condemnation, and the snare of the devil. For every one that exalteth himself shall be abused. 13. Such a one a bishop ought to be, who has been the husband of one wife. 14. Who also has herself had no other husband, ruling well his own house. 15. In this manner let examination be made, when he is to receive ordination, and to be placed in his bishopric, whether he be grave, faithful, decent, whether he hath a grave and faithful wife, or has formerly had such a one, whether he hath educated his children piously, and has brought them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. 16. Whether his domestics do fear and reverence him, and are all obedient to him, for if those who are immediately about him for worldly concerns are seditious and disobedient, how will others not of his family, when they are under his management, become obedient to him? 3. Let examination also be made, whether he be unblameable as to the concerns of this life, for it is written, search diligently for all the faults of him who is to be ordained for the priesthood. 1. Section 2. On which account let him also be void of anger, for wisdom says, anger destroys even the prudent. 2. Let him also be merciful, of a generous and loving temper, for our Lord says, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye love one another. 3. Let him be also ready to give, a lover of the widow and the stranger, ready to serve, and minister, and attend, resolute in his duty, and let him know who is the most worthy of his assistance. Or if there be a widow who is able to support herself, and another woman who is not a widow, but is needy by reason of sickness, or the bringing up many children, or infirmity of her hands, let him stretch out his hand in charity rather to this latter. But if any one be in want but gluttony, drunkenness, or idleness, he does not deserve any assistance, or to be esteemed a member of the Church of God. For the Scripture, speaking of such persons, says, "The sloth who hideth his hand in his bosom, and is not able to bring it to his mouth again for," and again, "The sluggard folds up his hands, and eats his own flesh." 5. For every drunkard and whoremonger shall come to poverty, and every drowsy person shall be clothed with tatters and rags. 6. And in another passage, "If thou give thine eyes to drinking in cups, thou shalt afterwards walk more naked than a pestle." 7. For certainly idleness is the mother of famine. 5. A bishop must be no acceptor of persons, neither revering nor flattering a rich man contrary to what is right, nor overlooking nor domineering over a poor man. 4. Says God to Moses, "Thou shalt not accept the person of the rich, nor shalt thou pity a poor man in his cause, for the judgment is the Lord's." 8. And again, "Thou shalt with exact justice follow that which is right." 9. Let a bishop be frugal, and contented with a little in his meat and drink, that he may be ever in a sober frame, and disposed to instruct and admonish the ignorant, and let him not be costly in his diet, a pamper of himself, given to pleasure, or fond of delicacies. Let him be patient and gentle in his admonitions, well instructed himself, meditating in and diligently studying the Lord's books, and reading them frequently, that so he may be able carefully to interpret the Scriptures, expounding the Gospel in correspondence with the Prophets, and with the Law, and let the expositions from the Law and the Prophets correspond to the Gospel. For the Lord Jesus says, "Search the Scriptures, for they are those which testify of me." 10. And again, "For Moses wrote of me." 11. But, above all, let him carefully distinguish between the original law and the additional precepts, and show which are the laws for believers, and which the bonds for the unbelievers, lest any should fall under those bonds. Be careful, therefore, O bishop, to study the word, that thou mayest be able to explain everything exactly, and that thou mayest copiously nourish thy people with much doctrine, and enlighten them with the light of the law. For God says, "Enlighten yourselves with the light of knowledge, while we have yet opportunity." 12. 6. Let not a bishop be given to filthy lucre, especially before the Gentiles, rather suffering than offering injuries, not covetous, nor rapacious, no purloiner, no admirer of the rich, nor hater of the poor, no evil speaker, nor false witness, not given to anger, no brawler, not entangled with the affairs of this life, not a surety for any one, nor an accuser in suits about money, not ambitious, not double-minded, nor double-tongued, not ready to hearken to calumny or evil-speaking, not a dissembler, not addicted to the heathen festivals, not given to vain deceits, not eager after worldly things, nor a lover of money. For all these things are opposite to God, and pleasing to demons. Let the bishop earnestly give all these precepts in charge to the laity also, persuading them to imitate his conduct. For, says he, "Do ye make the children of Israel pious?" 1. Let him be prudent, humble, apt to admonish with the instructions of the Lord, well-disposed, one who has renounced all the wicked projects of this world, and all heathenish lusts. Let him be orderly, sharp in observing the wicked, and taking heed of them, but yet a friend to all, just, discerning, and whatsoever qualities are commendable among men. Let the bishop possess them in himself. For if the pastor be unblameable as to any wickedness, he will compel his own disciples, and by his very mode of life press them to become worthy imitators of his own actions. As the prophet somewhere says, "And it will be, as is the priest, so is the people." 2. For our Lord and teacher Jesus Christ, the Sanctuary of God, began first to do, and then to teach, as Luke somewhere, which Jesus began to do, and to teach. 3. Says. 4. Wherefore he says, "Whosoever shall do and teach, he shall be called great in the kingdom of God." 5. For you bishops are to be guides and watchmen to the people, as you yourselves have Christ for your guide and watchman. Do you therefore become good guides and watchmen to the people of God. For the Lord says by Ezekiel, speaking to every one of you, "Son of man, I have given thee for a watchman to the house of Israel, and thou shalt hear the word from my mouth, and shalt observe, and shalt declare it from me. When he say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, if thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his wickedness, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, and his blood will I require at thine hand. But if thou warn the wicked from his way, that he may turn from it, and he does not turn from it, he shall die in his iniquity, and thou hast delivered thy soul. 6. In the same manner, if the sword of war be approaching, and the people set a watchman to watch, and he see the same approach, and does not forewarn them, and the sword come and take one of them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood shall be required at the watchman's hand, because he did not blow the trumpet. But if he blew the trumpet, and he who heard it would not take warning, and the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon him, because he heard the trumpet, and took not warning. But he who took warning has delivered his soul, and the watchman, because he gave warning, shall surely live. 7. The sword here is the judgment, the trumpet is the holy gospel, the watchman is the bishop, who is set in the church, who is obliged by his preaching to testify, and vehemently to forewarn. 3. Concerning that judgment. If ye do not declare and testify this to the people, the sins of those who are ignorant of it will be found upon you. Wherefore do you warn and reprove the uninstructed with boldness, teach the ignorant, confirm those that understand, bring back those that go astray. If we repeat the very same things on the same occasions, brethren, we shall not do amiss, for by frequent hearing it is to be hoped, that some will be made ashamed, and at least do some good action, and avoid some wicked one. For says God by the prophet, testify those things to them, perhaps they will hear thy voice. 8. And again, if perhaps they will hear, if perhaps they will submit. 9. Moses also says to the people, if hearing thou wilt hear the Lord God, and do that which is good and fight in his eyes. 10. And again. 3. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. 11. And our Lord is often recorded in the gospel to have said, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. 12. And wise Solomon says, my son, hear the instruction of thy father, and reject not the laws of thy mother. 13. And, indeed, to this day men have not heard, for while they seem to have heard, they have not heard aright, as appears by their having left the one and only true God, and their being drawn into destructive and dangerous heresies, concerning which we shall speak again afterwards. Section 3. 7. Beloved, be it known to you, that those who are baptized into the death of our Lord Jesus are obliged to go on no longer in sin, for as those who are dead cannot work wickedness any longer, so those who are dead with Christ cannot practice wickedness. We do not therefore believe, brethren, that any one who has received the washing of life continues in the practice of the licentious acts of transgressors. Now he who sins after his baptism, unless he repent and forsake his sins, shall be condemned to hell fire. 8. But if anyone be maliciously prosecuted by the heathen, because he will not still go along with them to the same excess of riot, let him know that such a one is blessed of God, according as our Lord says in the gospel, blessed are ye, when men shall reproach you, or persecute you, or say all manner of evil against you falsely, for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for your reward is great in heaven. 1. If, therefore, anyone be slandered and falsely accused, such a one is blessed, for the scripture says, a man that is a reprobate is not tried but God too. But if anyone be convicted as having done a wicked action, such a one not only hurts himself, but occasions the whole body of the church and its doctrine to be blasphemed, as if we Christians did not practice those things that we declare to be good and honest, and we ourselves shall be reproached by the Lord, that they say and do not. 3. Wherefore the bishop must boldly reject such as these upon full conviction, unless they change their course of life. 9. For the bishop must not only himself give no offense, but must be no respecter of persons, in meekness instructing those that offend. But if he himself has not a good conscience, and is a respecter of persons, for the sake of filthy lucre, and receiving of bribes, and spares the open offender, and permits him to continue in the church, he disregards the voice of God, and of our Lord, which says, thou shalt exactly execute right judgment. 4. Thou shalt not accept persons in judgment. Thou shalt not justify the ungodly. 5. Thou shalt not receive gifts against anyone's life, for gifts do blind the eyes of the wise, and pervert the words of the righteous. 6. And elsewhere he says, take away from among yourselves that wicked person. 7. And Solomon says in his Proverbs, cast out a pestilent fellow from the congregation, and strife will go out along with him. 8. 10. But he who does not consider these things, will, contrary to justice, spare him who deserves punishment, as Saul spared Agag, 9, and Eli 10, his sons, who knew not the Lord. Such a one profanes his own dignity, and that church of God which is in his parish. Such a one is esteemed unjust before God and holy men, as affording occasion of scandal to many of the newly baptized, and to the catechumens, as also to the youth of both sexes, to whom a woe belongs, at, a millstone about his neck, 11, and drowning, on account of his guilt. 4. Observing what a person their governor is, through his wickedness and neglect of justice they'll grow skeptical, and, indulging the same disease, will be compelled to perish with him, as was the case of the people joining with Jeroboam, 12, and those which were in the conspiracy with Korah, 13, but if the offender sees that the bishop and deacons are innocent and unblameable, and the flock pure, he will either not venture to despise their authority, and to enter into the church of God at all, as one smitten by his own conscience, or if he values nothing, and ventures to enter in, either he will be convicted immediately, as Uzzah 14, at the ark, when he touched it to support it, and as Achan, 15, when he stole the accursed thing, and as Gehazi, 16, when he coveted the money of Naaman, and so will be immediately punished, or else he will be admonished by the pastor, and drawn to repentance. For when he looks round the whole church one by one, and can spy no blemish, neither in the bishop nor in the people, who are under his care, he will be put to confusion, and pricked at the heart, and in a peaceable manner, will go his way with shame and many tears, and the flock will remain pure. He will apply himself to God with tears, and will repent of his sins, and have hope. Nay, the whole flock, at the sight of his tears, will be instructed, because a sinner avoids destruction by repentance. 11. Upon this account, therefore, O bishop, endeavor to be pure in thy actions, and to adorn thy place and dignity, which is that of one sustaining the character of God among men, as being set over all men, over priests, kings, rulers, fathers, children, teachers, and in general over all those who are subject to thee, and so sit in the church when thou speakest, as having authority to judge offenders. For to you, O bishops, it is said, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. 17. 12. Do thou therefore, O bishop, judge with authority like God, yet to receive the penitent, for God is a God of mercy. Rebuke those that sin, admonish those that are not converted, exhort those that stand to persevere in their goodness, receive the penitent, for the Lord God is promised with an oath, to afford remission to the penitent for what things they have done amiss. For he says by Ezekiel, speak unto them, as I live, saith the Lord, I would not the death of a sinner, but that the wicked turn from his evil way, and live. Turn ye therefore front your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? 1, hear the word 2, affords hope to sinners, that if they will repent they shall have hope of salvation, lest otherwise out of despair they yield themselves up to their transgressions, but that, having hope of salvation, they may be converted, and may address to God with tears, on account of their sins, and may repent from their hearts, and so appease his displeasure toward them, so shall they receive a pardon from him, as from a merciful Father. 13. Yet it is very necessary, that those who are yet innocent should continue so, and not make an experiment what sin is, that they may not have occasion for trouble, sorrow, and those lamentations which are in order to forgiveness. For how dost thou know, O man, when thou sinnest, whether thou shalt live any number of days in this present state, that thou mayest have time to repent? For the time of thy departure out of this world is uncertain. And if thou diest in sin, there will remain no repentance for thee, as God says by David, in the grave will confess to thee. 3. It behoves us, therefore, to be ready in the doing of our duty, that so we may await our passage into another world without sorrow. Wherefore also the divine word exhorts, speaking to thee by the wise Solomon, 2. Prepare thy works against thy exit, and provide all beforehand in the field. 4. Lest some of the things necessary to thy journey be wanting, as the oil of piety was deficient in the 5 foolish virgins. 5, mentioned in the Gospel, when they, on account of their having extinguished their lamps of divine knowledge, were shut out of the bride chamber. Wherefore he who values the security of his soul will take care to be out of danger, by keeping free from sin, that so he may preserve the advantage of his former good works to himself. Do thou, therefore, so judge as executing judgment for God. 4, as the Scripture says, the judgment is the Lord's. 6, in the first place, therefore, Condemn the guilty person with authority, afterwards try to bring him home with mercy and compassion, and readiness to receive him, promising him salvation, if he will change his course of life, and become a penitent, and when he does repent, and has submitted to his chastisement, receive him, remembering that our Lord has said, There is joy in heaven over one sinner that repenteth 7:14. But if thou refusest to receive him that repents, thou exposest him to those who lie in wait to destroy, forgetting what David says, Deliver not my soul, which confesses to thee, unto destroying beasts 8. Wherefore Jeremiah, when he is exhorting men to repentance, says thus, Shall not he that falleth arise, or he that turneth away, cannot he return? Wherefore have my people gone back by a shameless backsliding, and they are hardened in their purpose 9. Turn, ye backsliding children, and I will heal your backslidings 10. Receive, therefore, without any doubting, him that repents. Be not hindered by such unmerciful men, who say that we must not be defiled with such as those, nor so much as speak to them, for such advice is from men, that are unacquainted with God and his providence, and are unreasonable judges, and unmerciful brutes. These men are ignorant, that we ought to avoid society with offenders, not in discourse, but in actions. 4. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him 11. And again, if a land sinneth against me by trespassing grievously, and I stretch out my hand upon it, and break the staff of bread upon it, and send famine upon it, and destroy man and beast therein. Though these three men, Noah, Job, and Daniel, were in the midst of it, they shall only save their own souls by their righteousness, saith the Lord God 1. The scripture most clearly shows, that a righteous man that converses with a wicked man, does not perish with him. For in the present world the righteous and the wicked are mingled together in the common affairs of life, but not in holy communion, and in this the friends and favorites of God are guilty of no sin. For they do but imitate their Father which is in heaven, who maketh his Son to rise on the righteous and unrighteous, and sendeth his rain on the evil and on the good. 2. And the righteous man undergoes no peril on this account. For those who conquer, and those who are conquered, are in the same place of running, but only those who have bravely undergone the race are where the garland is bestowed, and, no one is crowned, unless he strive lawfully 3. For everyone shall give account of himself, and God will not destroy the righteous with the wicked, or with him. It is a constant rule, that innocence is never punished. For neither did he drown Noah, nor burn up Lot, nor destroy Rahab for company. And if you desire to know how this matter was among us, Judas was one of us, and took the like part of the ministry which we had, and Simon the magician received the seal of the Lord. Yet both the one and the other proving wicked, the former hanged himself, and the latter, as he flew in the air in a manner unnatural, was dashed against the earth. Moreover, Noah and his sons with him were in the ark, but Ham, who alone was found wicked, received punishment in his son 4. But if fathers are not punished for their children, nor children for their fathers, it is thence clear, that neither will wives be punished for their husbands, nor servants for their masters, nor one relation for another, nor one friend for another, nor the righteous for the wicked. But everyone will be required an account of his own doing. For neither was punishment inflicted on Noah for the world, nor was Lot destroyed by fire for the Sodomites, nor was Rahab slain for the inhabitants of Jericho, nor Israel for the Egyptians. For not the dwelling together, but the agreement in their sentiments, alone could condemn the righteous with the wicked. We ought not therefore, to hearken to such persons who call for death, and hate mankind, and love accusations, and under fair pretenses bring men to death. For one man shall not die for another, but, everyone is held with the chains of his own sins 5, and, behold, the man and his work is before his face 6. Now we ought to assist those who are with us 7, and are in danger, and fall, and, as far as lies in our power, to reduce them to sobriety by our exhortations, and so save them from death. 4. The whole have no need of the physician, but the sick. 8. Since it is not pleasing in the sight of your Father that one of these little ones should perish 9. For we ought not to establish the will of hard-hearted men, but the will of the God and Father of the universe, which is revealed to us by Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom be glory forever. Amen. For it is not equitable that thou, O bishop, who art the head, shouldst submit to the tail, that is, to some seditious person among the laity, to the destruction of another, but to God alone. For it is thy privilege to govern those under thee, but not to be governed by them. For neither does a son, who is subject by the course of generation, govern his father, nor a slave, who is subject by law, govern his master, nor does a scholar govern his teacher, nor a soldier his king, nor any of the laity his bishop, for that there is no reason to suppose that such as converse with the wicked, in order to their instruction in the word, are defiled by, or partake of their sins. Ezekiel, as it were on purpose preventing the suspicions of ill-disposed persons, says thus, "Why do you speak this proverb concerning the land of Israel? The fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge. As I live, saith the Lord God, ye shall not henceforth have occasion to use this proverb in Israel. For all souls are mine, in like manner as the soul of the father, so also the soul of the son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. But the man who is righteous, and is judgment and justice." And so the prophets reckons up the rest of the virtues, and then adds for a conclusion, "Such a one is just, he shall surely live, saith the Lord God. And if he beget a son who is a robber, a shedder of blood, and walks not in the way of his righteous father." And when the prophet had added what follows, he adds in the conclusion, "He shall certainly not live, he has done all this wickedness, he shall surely die, his blood shall be upon him." Yet they will ask thee, "Why does not the son bear the iniquity of the father, or his righteousness, having exercised righteousness and mercy himself?" And thou shalt say unto them, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, and the father shall not bear the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him." 1. And a little after he says, "When the righteous turneth away from his righteousness, and committeth iniquity, all his righteousness, by reason of all his wickedness which he has committed, shall not be mentioned to him, in his iniquity which he hath committed, and in his sin, which he hath sinned. In them shall he die." And a little after he adds, "When the wicked turneth away from his wickedness, which he hath committed, and doth judgment and justice, he hath preserved his soul, he hath turned away from all his ungodliness which he hath done, he shall surely live, he shall not die. And afterwards, I will judge every one of you according to his ways, O house of Israel, saith the Lord God." 15. Observe, you who are our beloved sons, how merciful yet righteous the Lord our God is, how gracious and kind to men, and yet most certainly, he will not acquit the guilty. 2. Though he welcomes the returning sinner, and revives him, leaving no room for suspicion to such as wish to judge sternly, and to reject offenders entirely, and refuse to vouchsafe to them exhortations which might bring them to repentance. In contradiction to such, God by Isaiah, says to the bishops, comfort ye my people, ye priests, speak comfortably to Jerusalem. It therefore behoves you, upon hearing those words of his, to encourage those who have offended, and lead them to repentance, and afford them hope, and not vainly to suppose that you shall be partakers of their offenses on account of such your love to them. Receive the penitent with alacrity, and rejoice over them, and with mercy and bowels of compassion judge the sinners. For if a person was walking by the side of a river, and ready to stumble, and thou shouldest push him, and thrust him into the river, instead of offering him the hand for his assistance, thou wouldst be guilty of the murder of thy brother, whereas thou oughtest rather to lend thy helping hand as he was ready to fall, lest he perish without remedy, that both the people may take warning, and the offender may not utterly perish. It is thy duty, O bishop, neither to overlook the sins of the people, nor to reject those who are penitent, that thou mayst not unskilfully destroy the Lord's flock, or dishonor his new name, which is imposed on his people, and thou thyself best reproached as those ancient pastors were, of whom God speaks thus to Jeremiah, "Many shepherds have destroyed my vineyard, they have polluted my heritage." 3. And in another passage, "My anger is waxed hot against the shepherds, and against the lambs shall I have indignation." 4. And elsewhere, "Ye are the priests that dishonor my name." 5. 16. When thou settest the offender, with severity command him to be cast out, and as he is going out, let the deacons also treat him with severity, and then let them go, and seek for him, and detain him out of the church, and when they come in, let them entreat thee for him. For our Savior himself entreated his Father for those who had sinned, as it is written in the Gospel, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." 6. Then order the offender to come in, and if upon examination thou findest that he is penitent, and fit to be received at all into the church, when thou hast afflicted him his days of fasting, according to the degree of his offenses 2. 3, 5, or 7 weeks, so set him at liberty, and speak such things to him as are fit to be said in way of reproof, instruction, and exhortation to a sinner for his reformation, that so he may continue privately in his humility, and pray to God, to be merciful to him, saying, If thou, O Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who should stand? For with thee there is propitiation. 7, of this sort of declaration as, that which is said in the book of Genesis to Cain, Thou hast sinned, be quiet. 8, that is, do not go on in sin. For that a sinner ought to be ashamed for his own sin, that oracle of God delivered to Moses concerning Miriam is a sufficient proof, when he prayed, that she might be forgiven. For says God to him, If her father had spit in her face, should she not be ashamed? Let her be shut out of the camp 7 days, and afterwards let her come in again. 9, we therefore ought to do so with offenders, when they profess their repentance, namely, to separate them some determinate time, according to the proportion of their offense, and afterwards, like fathers to children, receive them again upon their repentance. 17, but if the bishop himself be an offender, how will he be able any longer to prosecute the offense of another? Or how will he be able to reprove another, either he or his deacons, if by accepting of persons, or receiving of bribes, they have not all a clear conscience? For when the ruler asks, and the judge receives, judgment is not brought to perfection, but when both are companions of thieves, and regardless of doing justice to the widows, 1, those who are under the bishop will not be able to support and vindicate him, for they will say to him what is written in the gospel, Why beholdest thou the mote, that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam, that is in thine own eye? 2, let the bishop, therefore, with his deacons, dread to bear any such thing, that is, let him give no occasion for it. For an offender, when he sees any other doing as bad as himself, will be encouraged to do the very same things, and then the wicked one, taking occasion from a single instance, works in others, which God forbid, and by that means the flock will be destroyed. For the greater number of offenders there are, the greater is the mischief that is done by them, for sin which passes without correction grows worse and worse, and spreads to others, since a little leaven infects the whole lump. 3, and one thief spreads the abomination over a whole nation, and dead flies spoil the whole pot of sweet ointment. 4, and when a king hearkens to unrighteous counsel, all the servants under him are wicked. 5, so one scabbed sheep, if not separated from those that are whole, infects the rest with the same distemper, and a man infected with the plague is to be avoided by all men, and a mad dog is dangerous to every one that he touches. If, therefore, we neglect to separate the transgressor from the church of God, we shall make the Lord's house a den of thieves. 6, for it is the bishop's duty not to be silent in the case of offenders, but to rebuke them, to exhort them, to beat them down, to afflict them with fastings, that so he may strike a pious dread into the rest. 4, as he says, Make ye the children of Israel pious. 7, for the bishop must be one who discourages sin by his exhortations, and sets a pattern of righteousness, and proclaims those good things which are prepared by God, and declares that wrath which will come at the day of judgment, lest he contemn, and neglect the plantation of God, and, on account of his carelessness, hear that which is said in Hosea, Why have ye held your peace at impiety, and have reaped the fruit thereof? 8. 18. Let the bishop, therefore, extend his concern to all sorts of people, to those who have not offended, that they may continue innocent, to those who offend, that they may repent. For to you does the Lord speak thus, Take heed that ye offend not one of these little ones. 9. It is your duty also, to give remission to the penitent. Or as soon as ever one who has offended says, in the sincerity of his soul, I have sinned against the Lord, the Holy Spirit answers, The Lord also hath forgiven thy sin, be of good cheer, thou shalt not die. 10. Be sensible, therefore, O bishop, of the dignity of thy place, that as thou hast received the power of binding, so hast thou also that of loosing. Having therefore the power of loosing, know thyself, and behave thyself in this world as becomes thy place, being aware that thou hast a great account to give. For to whom, as the scripture says, men have entrusted much, of him they will require the more. 11, for no one man is free from sin, excepting him that was made man for us, since it is written, No man is pure from filthiness, no, not though he be but one day old. 12, upon which account the lives and conduct of the ancient holy men and patriarchs are described, not that we may reproach them from a reading, but that we ourselves may repent, and have hope, that we also shall obtain forgiveness. For their blemishes are to us both security and admonition, because we hence learn, when we have offended, that if we repent we shall have pardon. For it is written, who can boast, that he has a clean heart, and who dare affirm, that he is pure from sin? 13. No man, therefore, is without sin. Do thou therefore labor to the utmost of thy power to be unblameable, and be solicitous of all the parts of thy flock, lest anyone be scandalized on thy account, and thereby perish. For the layman is solicitous only for himself, but thou for all, as having a greater burden, and carrying a heavier load. For it is written, and the Lord said unto Moses, yea, and Aaron shall bear the sins of the priesthood. 14. Since, therefore, thou art to give an account of all, take care of all. Preserve those that are sound, admonish those that sin, and when thou hast afflicted them with fasting, give them ease by remission, and when with tears the offender begs readmission, receive him, and let the whole church pray for him. And when by imposition of thy hand thou hast admitted him, give him leave to abide afterwards in the flock. But for the drowsy and the careless, do thou endeavor to convert and confirm, and warn and cure them, as sensible how great a reward thou shalt have for doing so, and how great danger thou wilt incur, if thou payest negligent therein. For Ezekiel speaks thus to those overseers, who take no care of the people, woe unto the shepherds of Israel, for they have fed themselves, the shepherds feed not the sheep, but themselves. Ye eat the milk, and are clothed with the wool, ye slay the strong, ye do not feed the sheep. The weak have ye not strengthened, neither have ye healed that which was sick, neither have ye bound up that which was broken, neither have ye brought again that which was driven away, neither have ye sought that which was lost, but violently ye chastised them with insult, and they were scattered, because there was no shepherd, and they became meat to all the beasts of the forest. And again, the shepherds did not search for my sheep, and the shepherds fed themselves, but they fed not my sheep. And a little after, behold, I'm against the shepherds, and I will require my sheep at their hands, and cause them to cease from feeding my sheep, neither shall the shepherds feed themselves any more, and I will deliver my sheep out of their hands, and they shall not be meat for them. And he also adds, speaking to the people, behold, I will judge between sheep and sheep, and between rams and rams. Seemed it a small thing unto you to have eaten up the good pasture, and to have trodden down with your feet the residue of your pasture, and that the sheep have eaten what was trodden down with your feet? And a little after he adds, and ye shall know that I'm the Lord, and you the sheep of my pasture, ye are my men, and I'm your God, saith the Lord God. 1:19. Hear, O ye bishops, and hear, O ye of the laity, how God speaks. I will judge between ram and ram, and between sheep and sheep. And he says to the shepherds, ye shall be judged for your unskillfulness, and for destroying the sheep. That is, I will judge between one bishop and another, and between one layperson and another, and between one ruler and another, for these sheep and these rams are not irrational, but rational creatures, lest at any time a layperson should say, I'm a sheep, and not a shepherd, and I'm not concerned for myself. Let the shepherd look at it, for he alone will be required to give an account for me. For as the sheep that will not follow its good shepherd is exposed to the wolves, to its destruction, so that which follows a bad shepherd is also exposed to unavoidable death, since his shepherd will devour him. Wherefore a care must be had to avoid destructive shepherds. 20. As to a good shepherd, let the layperson honor him, love him, reverence him as his Lord, as his Master, as the High Priest of God, as a teacher of piety. For he that heareth him, heareth cries, and he that rejecteth him, rejecteth cries, and he who does not receive cries, does not receive his God and Father. For, says he that heareth you, heareth me, and he that rejecteth you, rejecteth me, and he that rejecteth me, rejecteth him that sent me to. In like manner, let the bishop love the laity as his children, fostering and cherishing them with affectionate diligence, as eggs, in order to the hatching of young ones, or as young ones, taking them in his arms, to the rearing them into birds, admonishing all men, reproving all who stand in need of reproof, reproving, that is, but not striking, beating them down to make them ashamed, but not overthrowing them, warning them in order to their conversion, chiding them in order to their reformation and better course of life, watching the strong, that is, keeping him firm in the faith, who is already strong, feeding the people peaceably, strengthening the weak, that is, confirming with exhortation that which is tempted, healing that which is sick, that is, curing by instruction that which is weak in the faith through doubtfulness of mind, binding up that which is broken, that is, binding up by comfortable admonitions that which is gone astray or wounded. bruised, or broken by their sins, and put out of the way, leasing it of its offenses, and giving hope, by this means restore it in strength to the church, bringing it back into the flock. Bring again that which is driven away, that is, do not permit, that which is in its sins, and is cast out by way of punishment, to continue excluded, but receiving it, and bringing it back, restore it to the flock, that is, to the people of the undefiled church. Seek for that which is lost, that is, do not suffer, that which desponds of its salvation, by reason of the multitude of its offenses, utterly to perish. Do thou search for that which is grown sleepy, drowsy, and sluggish, and that which is unmindful of its own life, through the depth of its sleep, and which is at a great distance from its own flock, so as to be in danger of falling among the wolves, and being devoured by them.